This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Now, because I'm a sane human being, I follow Peter on Twitter and Instagram.
Thank you.
So yesterday, I guess Laura Stiles took the baby to Peter's place.
That's correct.
The baby's adorable.
I mean,
a very beautiful child.
Out of this world.
Which makes sense, because Laura's a very beautiful person. But there's pictures of you holding her. Mm-hmm. And I see it in the eyes. I think you're ready. I think you're ready. And let me just tell you, and Don could back me up on this. Don't wait like we did. You're 41.
It's time.
It's time. You don't want to be the grandfather who's actually the father. It's time. So start thinking about it, my friend.
Well,
you look like a natural.
I was very excited to meet this baby. And
you think the baby liked you?
Oh my God. Yeah, me and Kenza, we got along quite famously. We had a great time together. So yeah, I'll keep that up. I think about that when you guys talk. I do think, like, I don't have that long a window to get in there ahead of Don.
That's right.
I only got a couple years to get there ahead of Don, and it's draining. Just burping the baby, I was like, you have to do this for a half hour after every meal?
Yeah, but that doesn't last that long.
No, not long.
But still, okay, fine. Tell you that when you're in the middle of it after doing the morning show and you're sitting up there afterwards.
Well, you might have to rejigger your schedule just a little bit.
Just a tad.
How old were you with the twins, Don?
49.
And I was 52 when Callie was born.
Wait, Don, you were 49?
Yes.
How old are you now?
53.
You'll be 57 on Saturday?
No, I will be 54 in February.
All right,
were born December, and then I turned 50 just a couple of months after they were born.
All right, so I got a little bit of a window still to get in ahead of Don and be done.
Yeah, but you don't want to do that window. Just do it a different window than both of us.
I'm trying. I'll do the best I can, guys.
And don't forget the math, Peter. It's not like you go to the local dispensary and pick up a kid.
Right.
There's a window there. It's like when Michael Scott wants to adopt a baby, and Pam says, you know, sometimes it can take a year or two to adopt a baby. And he goes, well, I don't even think I'll want a baby by then.
All right, let's go to the phones. Let's go to Nick. He's on the New Jersey Turnpike. What's up, Nick?
How you doing, guys? Great show as usual.
Thanks.
Peter, yeah, you should you got to do it because you won't know what you did before. You'll be very happy that you did that. So anyway, about the Knicks. They're a 500 team, and that's great, but they're not going to be much better than that without an assassin. And is it the opportunity to pull the trigger on that?
Well, I mean, you could say it might be time, Nick, but who's available?
Right.
They're not giving up Bradley Beal. Beal just had, what, a 48-point game and a Wizard loss? The Wizards are actually playing a lot better. They're not trading Bradley Beal. So if you say pull the trigger, well, there's got to be a target. There's no target. Nobody's dealing anybody at this point or anybody that's going to make a difference. I mean, you could get an Andre Drummond. Is that going to make a difference? The Knicks have actually played better without Mitchell Robinson. And you know, Nerlens Noel has done a good job playing 40 minutes a game the last two games, even with Taj Gibson out. So I don't know if Drummond's the way to go. I mean, if they are going to acquire somebody, they have to acquire. Don't just get anybody. You got to get a big time player, a sniper, a guy who could shoot, who could score at will. I don't know if you can't go down the aisle at Walmart and get that.
No. And if you do find a dance partner, they're going to want a lot. It's going to hurt to get a player like that.
And you have to give something up, and you're going to have to give up draft capital.
Yeah.
Who's laughing like that?
My computer.
Oh, my goodness.
That was alarming, though. It's a stranger.
I mean, that was disconcerting. It sounded like the Joker.
It really was terrifying.
Let's go to Chris in Deer Park. Chris.
Hello?
Hello, Chris.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
Great.
I'm calling about the Knicks. I'm a big fan of the Knicks, and it's finally good to see, you know, you guys talk good about the Knicks. I hear you, Chris Carlin, and the last few weeks, you know, it's kind of depressing because I'm happy and you guys are just shooting us down a little bit, but I get it as a Knicks fan. I think Tibbs is doing a great job. I love the direction that we're going. I do think that, not that we're overachieving, but I think that in the playoffs, when the game slows down and Randall's our only all-star, I'm not sure if that's going to be enough. So, but if it is and that's all we get, it's better than what we thought we were coming into the season with, and I'm still excited about what's to come.
You
but
should be.
One thing I want to say is not I'm not a Jets fan. I'm a Giants fan, but I don't hate the Jets. And I keep hearing the commercial with Keyshawn and Jay Will, and it makes me think of us as Knicks. Everyone I know, I'm on the Knicks pages, the blogs, everything, and none of us wanted Randall here when the season started. All season, preseason, we all wanted him gone. And now I think about it, I heard Keyshawn saying, don't go after a quarterback. Stay with Sam Darnold. You got a different coach. Get him some players. And now it makes me think of Randall with Thibs. So we got a different coach. We got a couple of players and, you know, just a different system. And
here's the difference, Chris. Randall was here 1 year. 1 year. He has a 3-year contract. Sam's been here 3 years. Has never scratched the surface of what people think he can be. Now, I love Keyshawn to death.
To death.
Yeah. But he's got a blind spot when it comes to Sam. I'm sorry, he does. The USC connection. But I can't just say Keyshawn does. So does Todd McShay.
Right.
So does Mel Kiper. So does Dan Orlovsky. But
Bill Parcells.
3 years. Bill Parcells. 3 years we haven't seen him scratch the surface of what he's supposed to be. The Knicks, with Randall, that was 1 year. He's just 26 years old. Now, Sam is young, but 3 years as a quarterback and you haven't scratched the surface,
yeah,
that's concerning.
It's apples and oranges, though, because it's like how many games? You don't – like basketball, it's so much easier because you got so many games, you know they're relative to the amount of games that they played. You know, it would take years for Sam to play as many games as Randall played. You know, it's harder in football. So sometimes it does take what you don't see for a couple of years. One, a good coach, a good system, get some talent around them can change it all. But in basketball, Michael, if you went 3 years without showing it, you're probably not going to be able to show it because you're talking about, you know, 150 games. So it's a little bit different, but God, it's not just Keyshawn. If it was just Keyshawn, you could explain it away and just say it's the USC connection. But there's a lot of the people that feel the same way. But we talked about it when you were doing the Yankees, Michael. Good coaches do bring a lot out of players. You get the right coach, you can get more. I'm not saying you can make a bad player into a superstar, but maybe you get a little bit more out of him.
That's true. But you know, although we all agree that the Robert Saleh hire was good, we don't know what type of coach he's going to be. We knew that Thibodeau's an excellent coach. Robert Saleh, we don't know if he's Vince Lombardi or a bad coach.
And LaFleur comes in with him too. We know a little bit, but no, you're right. It's a crapshoot either way. But good coaching, part of what makes it, it's not just the strategy. It's getting those players to play to the best of their ability in any sport. That's part of what a coach's job is. And I think, because really, what's the difference between this year's Knicks team and last year's Knicks team?
Tom Thibodeau.
Yeah, and that's look at the difference that's made, not just in the standings, but how the players have played.
Yeah, it's been unbelievable.
It's huge.
Good coach can get a lot out of a player. Peter, have you had the kid yet since we spoke?
No, I'm still working on it. But you know what we haven't mentioned all day?
What?
The huge NFL signing news.
Yeah.
Let's do that when we get back.
We have to. I mean.
And it was a story today before it became a real story, and it involved Peloton. It was amazing.
I didn't know it involved Peloton.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's what I'm talking about. We'll explain when we get back right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Michael Kay Show.
I don't think the Knicks are a fourth place team. I still think you're going to hear from Miami, Boston, and Toronto. If those three teams end up finishing higher than the Knicks, that will drop them down to the play-in at seven. So right now, your expectations are, I want to make sure I finish in sixth, which means they're going to have to finish better than either Miami, Boston, or Toronto. I think that's doable, but it really just shows you that now I think the expectations have to change. I don't think you sit here as a Knicks fan and say, I'll just be happy if we finished in 10th and we've got meaningful games at the end of the season. If you're legit happy, I don't think you're a four seed, but you know, continue to play well, see if you can finish as a six and not have to worry about all that.
The Michael Kay Show.
After Gittens powers a grand slam, they're going to remove the Tiger pitcher. Dare I say it? Hess has run out of gas.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Oh, yeah. I had a couple of puns on the broadcast today that I enjoyed. Hess has run out of gas. And then a player, Ezekiel Duran, struck out, and I said, Duran says no moss. I mean, really? It's midseason, guys.
Well,
midseason form.
But beyond, that's 6 hours of prep you did the other day.
You did a lot of work.
You mean I prepped with ad-libs?
Well, because here's how it works. You know this.
Tell me.
Let the audience
Well,
know.
He's him.
But the more prep you do on the game frees you up to have those moments. So you're not worried about the lack of prep and making up for it and focusing on the game because you had so much prep that allowed your brain to be able to ease into those puns and little non sequiturs that you use so well with Dave.
Wow.
And by the way, he totally looks like he's in a kitchen.
We showed it. It's in a word troubling. It really is. So I talked to him up there. I said, why are you in a kitchen? He said, well, it's not like a kid. He's renting a house down in Florida. He and his friend.
Okay.
And he said, it's the only place I could really set up a camera. It's kind of a bar area. But it's a really, like, low-end bar. It's not like a David Cone bar that David Cone could afford. So in this house, he can't even put up the same banner I have because it's not big enough. He's in a little pit. Looks like he's in a pit. It's unbelievable. He's got a globe. He's got some weird picture and, like, clothes in, like, a plastic Walmart bag. It's very odd. But, you know, it's David being David.
You guys were terrific, though. I enjoyed you both.
Really?
I did.
Thank you. Thank you. All right, so Yankees won 5-4. Gary Sanchez hit an unbelievable home run. Over the batter's eye in center field on a fastball, which is a pitch he had problems with last year. And then Chris Gittens hit a very long grand slam as the Yankees won 5-4. Anyway, spring training game, they're 1-1 in the spring training slate. But J.J. Watt decided to play for the Arizona Cardinals. I believe the deal is 2 years, $31 million. But the interesting thing is, I guess there was a J. Watt on that belonged to Peloton. And I guess I don't have Peloton. I don't know if Don does. I know Peter does in an apartment, but you could in an apartment. And so you set up like almost like a Twitter site where you join, because everything is, you know, you're joining classes on the screen in front of you. And this J. Watt had four teams logo on the bottom. And people said, well, look, J.J. Watt is narrowed to these four teams. And then J.J. Watt had to go on social media and goes, I don't even have a bike. Stop. Stop. And then finally, he's lifting weights and he has a Cardinals shirt on. And he goes, source, me. And that was it. So he's going to the Cardinals, 2 years, $31 million. It's surprising because he certainly didn't pick a team that's definitely going to the Super Bowl, but we'll see.
That's what I was going to say. I'm glad you told me something interesting about where J.J. Watt went, because, and I know this will be unpopular, just like when I trashed the idea of going into Indianapolis, not being exciting. People will feel the same way because there are, believe it or not, there are Cardinals fans out there. I'm sorry. That's where he wants to close out. I mean, I'm not saying they couldn't compete next year. And, yeah, maybe they'll compete for their division. But for someone who spent so many years with talented players on a team that just didn't have the credentials to get there, I'm surprised this is where he wanted to close out. Green Bay was an option. Pittsburgh was an option. There were places he could go. And
Pittsburgh
really
didn't have any money, Peter. That's why he didn't go there.
Well, but he has money.
Well, I mean, but money is money. You're not going to give away 2 years of career and not make money.
No, the Players Association is there's a certain standard. He got a second year out of Arizona that I'm sure those other teams weren't willing to give. You could say there were options for him, but were they options for, you know, Green Bay, Pittsburgh? Yeah, it'd be great to go play with his brothers, but Pittsburgh didn't have any money. Maybe Green Bay didn't want to give him that second year. So you want to do what's best for you contract-wise, and if you want the stability of that second year, maybe this is the best-case scenario, Peter, because it is a team that's got a quarterback, it looks like. It's a team that I think can be competitive for that division. Because, you know, what's going to happen, Wilson, in Seattle?
I don't know.
Is Stafford
going to
work in L.A.?
I think L.A. is going to be good.
Well, I do too. And I think
L.A.
is great, but still.
L.A., they're in a division with a legitimate Super Bowl contender and favorite potentially to win the conference. Do you believe that in the next 2 years, Kyler Murray develops that much and this team becomes that complete that they're competing for a championship? And, you know, I don't. And so for him, if it's about the check, have fun. But for me, as the outside football fan who just gets excited about the prospect of someone adding to a team where it could really take them over the top, I don't think that's the case in Arizona.
But do we know that there were offers?
I know that Green Bay was interested. I know the team. I saw a few teams that he was considering, and I thought they were all contenders. More so than and listen, I know Arizona's good. They're solid.
The Browns
team.
Supposedly were interested. The Packers were interested. The Steelers were interested, but they don't have money.
Right.
I mean, they're not even going to be able to keep Ben unless he decides to, you know, just completely redo his contract.
But you could say he, you know, I don't know that he was solely or should be just solely, I want to go get a ring. But $23 million guaranteed, getting that second year, rather than maybe going playing for Green Bay for less money, maybe only having 1 year. Maybe he just he likes the direction the Cardinals are going. It's not a team that's got that much work to do. Yeah. I say the Rams are the team to beat for sure. But if the Wilson-Seattle thing becomes a problem, San Francisco's looking for a quarterback, they could be a wild card team, and who knows? How many times
I think it's
a
the fourth team in that division.
What's that?
I think that's the fourth team in the division, Cardinals.
No.
Sure.
You don't think the
Niners are better? Rams are better, and Seattle's better.
Well, San
I don't know why you would definitively say the 49ers are better.
Well, you're assuming the quarterback change is going to be a big.
Well, even if they keep Gorgeous Jimmy, they'll be fine if he's healthy. All he does is win when he's healthy.
I think
that's
this
a good team with a great coach.
Something here.
The Bills were on his list, though. You can't tell me that's not interesting. Bills are right there. They're ready right now. I mean, listen, at the end of the day, 9 times out of 10, it's about these guys getting a check. So,
well, our very own Diana Rossini, whose father listens to the show,
sure,
said that J.J. Watt had multiple deals on the table with $15 to $16 million per year. So he chose the Cardinals. That's where he wanted to go. It wasn't about money.
It's not
maybe
a bad
he really
place
missed DeAndre Hopkins.
Maybe that's it.
No, but maybe DeAndre told him, listen, I think the quarterback's ready to pop here. I'm still in my prime. I love the coach. It's a great place to live. I understand what you're saying, Michael. That's a really difficult division, and the Rams right now look like the favorite. But how many times have we crowned a team in March? What if Stafford doesn't work out? What if Wilson becomes a problem in Seattle?
Okay, you're giving me what ifs. If you had a bet, who's the fourth team?
No, I would say San Francisco.
Really?
Well, this past year, Michael, it's a reasonable take.
It's close, but I think they could be a playoff team. And if Murray becomes what Wilson became, which is I guess what they're hoping for, right? Then you may have in the next 2 years the best quarterback in that division. Maybe. I guess I understand it's a maybe, but if he was sold that the quarterback's great, they've got weapons, they've got a really good coach. You didn't go to Siberia by any stretch of the imagination. You didn't go to a team that's like 3-4 years away. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if Arizona is a playoff team this year.
Well,
I bet you a dollar they're not.
Just
well,
answer me this.
Deal? Who's a lock playoff team? Like, you look at each division, right?
Well, if Seattle trades Wilson, then they're the fourth team. Well, but I'm assuming they won't.
All right, but let's say they keep Wilson. What were they? You know, they finished what, 12-4, but they didn't look great the last month. They were easily taken out of the first round of the playoffs. That might be a team that's starting to trend down. All right, but you look at the rest of the divisions. What's happening with Breeze in New Orleans? Right? So is it just the Buccaneers? Is there another playoff team in the South? Is there another playoff team, you know, with Green Bay? Is Minnesota, the Chicago Bears going to take a step? Where are we going with there? I don't think another team's coming out for a playoffs in the East.
Green Bay
could be a definite wild card there.
Green Bay is a team whereby adding your veteran presence to that unit, to that defensive unit, you could play a part in them taking the final step. That's how I see it. In Arizona, he could definitely be a part of them taking a step. It's not the final step. They have to take the step before the final step. In Buffalo, he could help them take the final step. You know, there's a list of there's a handful of teams who realistically you know are going to be in the mix next year. You know Buffalo's in the mix. You know Green Bay's in the mix. Neither of them's taking a big step backwards next year. So it's a fine place to go, Don. But in terms of like, you think, oh, I'm going to get to see J.J. Watt in meaningful playoff games for sure. But, you don't get that in Arizona.
But, you know, Diana said that there were multiple teams that were willing to give, what, 15, 16 a year. So the money was comparable. Do we know that Green Bay was one of those teams?
Don't know.
I don't know.
You know, so maybe Green Bay was only willing to give 1 year. And he wanted that second year. I don't know. I'm just guessing. I hear you. Kids from Wisconsin. Green Bay's got an excellent chance to go to the Super Bowl. Seems like a no-brainer to me. But there has to be some reason why he chose Arizona over Green Bay. But I don't think it's – he didn't go to Cincinnati.
No.
I mean, this team could be close.
No, you're right. I'm definitely not knocking them and saying that there's no chance they're in the playoffs next year. They definitely could be. I guess as someone who doesn't have a dog in the fight, you just – I know. I'll just say I didn't light up and go, oh, man, Watt to Arizona. Here we go. I just didn't have that feeling.
How is my good friend Ballard, is he upset? Because I've come around on Ballard. I don't know if you realize
I'll
that.
I'll check in. I did not hear from him, but I'm sure he was disappointed.
Love that guy.
I know. You're a big fan.
I really am. I've turned around.
What a good week he had.
Who, Ballard or me?
I think both. Let me see. Thoughts on J.J. Watt to AZ? Kaster wants to know.
Let's go to Jumani in Brooklyn. Jumani.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How you doing?
I'm doing all right. My name is actually Joe, but they call me Jumani because I drink this drink. It's called Bomani. It's this coffee drink with alcohol, which is out of this world.
Okay.
Really? So you drink it do you drink it before work? A drink with alcohol in it?
It's not like it has so much alcohol in it, but yeah, I drink it every day. Why do you think I'm so happy?
Good for you. You know, you found the secret. You found the secret, Jumani.
So let me bring something up. Now, with regards to J.J. Watt, you're talking about a guy who's been in the league for years. We're looking through everything through the lens of a fan as opposed to a professional. Now, he probably spoke to DeAndre Hopkins, who he's boys with for years, and said, realistically, what do you think? Now, they have an up-and-coming defense with guys that are just tackling machines. And they have an offense where if you give them some playmakers, honestly, they should win the division. Look at their division right now. San Francisco, you just lost your defensive coordinator. So the strength of that team is going down the drain. Seattle does not have a good offense, and then with all the turmoil of their quarterback going down the drain. And then you have the Rams, which everybody thinks is going to be amazing. Jared Goff was not a bad quarterback. He's not as good as Matthew Stafford, but it's not like it's such a jump.
Agreed.
That they're going to be a Super Bowl contender. So honestly, if I had to choose a team of all these four right now, even without J.J. Watt, I would say, wow, Arizona is on the way up with the other three on their way down. I mean, that's just my personal opinion. And then they're talking amongst themselves and saying, hey, do we really have a shot? And I'm pretty sure DeAndre Hopkins is like, hey, man, you're in the twilight of your career. Yeah, if you come, I really think with your talent and your leadership, you can anchor a defense that could be top five, and then we'll just get those few extra pieces, and you can help bring them over like Tom Brady did, and we can make a serious run.
You know what you sound like right now, Jumani? You know what you sound like?
Oh.
You sound like when I used to work with Al Leiter in the Yes booth, and he was six or seven Red Bulls in. That's what you sound like.
He's ramped. He's amped up. Yeah,
you are fired. Banging off the walls right now, Jumaane. Thank
you. But he's
you.
Making
good
a lot
call.
Of sense.
No, I think he exaggerated just a bit on each of the deficiencies of the teams in the division. I'm not high on San Francisco. I don't know if their defense is crippled because they lost their defensive coordinator. You know, I don't think the Rams are not a Super Bowl contender. I think they are. I don't think it's going to completely collapse where Seattle's going to go from 12-4 to 4-12. But I wouldn't be surprised if Hopkins said, I think this kid's going to be great. And who doesn't want to go play on a team that's got a great quarterback? You know, and a young quarterback. Because maybe he's thinking, guys, hey, I'll sign a 2-year deal here, but you know, maybe if things go well and we're moving up, maybe I'll stick around. And Arizona's a wonderful place to live, from what I understand. I enjoy visiting there. I've never lived there.
But you're more of a Phoenix guy. Portland.
He loves Portland.
Won't tell us why, but he loves Portland.
Yeah, but what does that have to do with Arizona?
Well, I'm just saying, you're complimenting Arizona, but you're more of a Portland guy.
Well, my love of the Trailblazers has very little to do with the city itself, although I do think it's a fabulous city.
Interesting.
But if I'm going to spend some time,
yeah,
I would rather, right now, I think a really nice week would be just hopping from ballpark to ballpark in the Cactus League, watching some baseball in Arizona, where it's nice.
Stopping some good, solid Arizona strip clubs during COVID.
Are there strip clubs in Arizona?
Oh, sure.
So Arizona's kind of like a dry heat Florida.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, listen, I've never been to one of these establishments, but I'm pretty sure Phoenix has a nice selection.
See, I never knew Phoenix to be that city.
I was doing porn.
I didn't either. I never saw any. I'm not saying they're not.
I've never heard about that with Phoenix. I think you're making it up, and it's a bad, bad makeup.
Well, so I think there's strip clubs everywhere.
You know, they're like, there's a McDonald's in Florida, then there's a strip club. Then there's a Burger King, then there's a strip club.
Well, it may not be
like that.
There's
a Wendy's, then there's a strip club. I don't think Phoenix is like that.
Don, do you have me up on your monitor right now or no?
Oh, yeah.
It's going to take a little time here, but look what I just found here, sitting right here for you. Take a gander when you get a chance, Don, at that gorgeous football card. You may
Again,
even
it's DirecTV, so this could be a while.
Well, no. Email me next week when you see what I just held up there, but it's a player you're very fond of. I think our audience will remember it as well.
Do you think your jacket's gorgeous?
Oh, it's LT.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah, look at that. In the all white, the white on white, baby.
Why are you opening up football cards?
I'd gotten some random pack of Upper Deck cards, and I just had them sitting right here. Two Dave Meggetts, Don, if you want to trade for one of them.
That's right.
Let's go to Danielle and Clifton. Danielle.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm just calling in. I'm listening to you guys talk about the JJ thing. I'm a Packer fan. I'm a Packer owner. I live, eat, and breathe Packers. And the Packers were not going to sign him for this much. I would say maybe 2 years, you know, $10 million maybe a year. But I think it came down to money. I do. I'm on the side that. I don't think Cardinals are going to be there just yet in a few years. Who knows? Kyle Murray, second-year quarterback. I don't know. I'm just disappointed. I was shocked. I was shocked about this.
Well, I would guess maybe, you know, the offers might have been similar as far as years and money, but the guaranteed money's probably what did it. 23 guaranteed. Yeah. That's pretty good money for JJ where he's at in his career. Maybe Green Bay didn't want to go there with the guaranteed money. And you're looking for stability. What is he, 31, 32 years old? The guaranteed money was probably what did it, if I had to guess.
Let's go to Billy in Brooklyn. Billy in Brooklyn. Bill.
Hey, what's up, guys?
How you doing?
Good, how are you? I just want to touch back on something that you went to before commercial. You said that Sam Donald, if he has talent, you know, he could play better and somebody can pay him to Randall. But Randall doesn't have no talent. He's got young guys around him.
Well, I don't think there's a parallel between the two anyway. I mean, Randall has not been on real good teams, and he's lifted this young squad around him. So I don't think that Randall has a great amount of talent, and Sam hasn't had a great amount of talent. The difference is that Randall this year is getting great coaching.
Yeah, I think that's where
Sam
the comparison
Sam great coaching. Probably not.
I don't think we were comparing talent, although, you know, talent is an issue, what was an issue for both of them in their careers. But we're talking about what kind of impact can a coach make? And Darnold was thrown out there because that's been something we've talked about with the Jets getting a better coach.
You know, one person that I left out, one movie I left out, we were talking about the bad Adam Sandler movies. Jack and Jill was dreadful.
I never saw it.
Oh, it was dreadful.
But I did see a reaction on Twitter.
It starred Peter's favorite actor, Kevin James. No. That was another bad one.
That was I Now Pronounce You...
Something and Larry.
Whatever. That was
Chuck and Larry?
Awful. Chuck and Larry. That was dreadful, too.
Oh, man, there was a...
So we've got Jack and Jill, Lil Nicky, not Little Nicky, Lil Nicky, and we now pronounce you Chuck and Larry. Those would be the bottom.
Ballard has chimed in on...
Oh, good.
On J.J.
Is this teaseworthy?
Sorry?
Is this teaseworthy?
I don't think so.
Ballard!
Love the guy, but I don't know if it's teaseworthy.
I love him, too.
He was just saying a lot of money for the Packers who are struggling to get themselves under the cap. So he would have loved to have seen it, but financially, if he was able to get that much money, they weren't going to get to that.
Michael Kaye on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by GEICO. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing GEICO's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Are people excited about this Yankee team? I've got numbers that would tell you the answer to that question. Numbers that might blow your mind.
Numbers?
Numbers.
Numbers
we're
that...
We're going to get analytic with the people.
Numbers that two people on this show may have something to do with.
All I know is whatever the numbers he's talking about, if it's what I think, it could have been better.
Well, wait till you hear the numbers, Don. Maybe we already helped make it better. You know what I'm saying?
Ah.
Interesting. Interesting how you're going to take the ball and run with it. You don't even know where I'm going.
I already read the article. I pulled a Michael K, baby. I already know.
So you didn't take the nap between the morning show and the afternoon show?
No, I didn't nap. I did. About a half hour.
See, that makes me more tired than rested.
Half hour.
I hate naps.
No, the half hour is the one where you feel rested. When I get really tired is when I sleep for like 90 minutes. Half hour helps.
But half hour is like, it's a tease.
No, it rejuvenates you a little bit. Then you throw on this gorgeous purple jacket, and before you know it, you're feeling good.
Interesting. 1-800-919-3776. That's the number. We'll tell you about the number that I'm talking about when we get back on Yes on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Split the ice apart and break the frozen
ice picks.
That's right, Ice Picks brought to you by BetMGM Sports. I'm going to look out to the great province of Manitoba, home of the Winnipeg Jets. They're coming off getting outplayed by Montreal on Saturday, but still finding a way to win. Vancouver's just limping through this season. So I am going to go with the Jets covering the goal and a half at home against Vancouver at a nice, juicy +170 as my ice pick tonight. Brought to you by BetMGM Sports. Place your parlays, props, and future bets at the King of Sportsbooks. Get the app today.
I'm curious, Don. I'm looking at your room, and you've got food on a plate to your right.
God, that's right. You'll love it. I just ate my oranges. Those are the peels. I didn't know they were in the shop. I apologize.
I got to tell you what, Peter. This is before you were there. Mm-hmm. He would bring in oranges.
I've heard this.
It would drive me crazy. Just the way he ate them, I wanted to shove it in his face. He would meticulously carve it up the same way every day. I mean, he's just such a man of predictability. I wanted to shove it down his throat until he started choking. That's what I wanted to do.
Why did it bother you so
I don't know.
Much,
I don't know. And I know that in this one, I'm wrong. I'm dead wrong. Dead wrong. I don't even question that it was Don's fault. It was something, the way he did it, that rubbed me the wrong way, that I just couldn't take it. It was the same thing every day. Every day. The orange, and then he put his face in the Doritos bag. It was so predictable.
No. There's no overlap between the Doritos and the oranges. That would make no sense.
Yeah,
see, I'm trying to get fit. I'm trying to lose some weight, trying to snack on something healthy. I don't know where Nancy got these grapes last night. It was just unbelievable. I thought she froze them. That's how crisp they were. So trying to incorporate some fruit in my diet. But, Peter, when I face this resistance from somebody I respect, makes it difficult. How do you grossly eat oranges? I cut them up so it's not gross. I'm not peeling it in front of you.
But peeling it would have been fine. Peeling is appealing, but you would cut it into 8 slices. And, oh, it was just brutal. I hated it.
I'm still not getting, Peter, are you getting what the problem is?
No, not in this case, but I understand why when you work with someone and they do something that you wouldn't do and it's sort of meticulous and annoying, why it bothers you for no reason. It's not reasonable, Don. It doesn't sound like
you did
anything
wrong.
No, I know
it's not reasonable, but I mean, there were times that he was doing it, I would look at him, right? And he wouldn't even know I was looking at him, and I felt like reaching over and ripping his eyeball out of his skull.
See,
and
that's
then showing him the eyeball.
Don't even that strong, though.
No, I know it's strong. Again, I've got issues. I think you guys know
but,
that.
But I don't understand how just saying I have issues now makes it, like, forgivable and logical. Fix
no,
it.
But did
Fix
I rip
the
your eyeball out?
No,
I got over it. I got over it. I started to just not pay attention when you did that. I turned away. I couldn't look at it anymore. It was the same thing. He took out his plastic knife. It was like sitting with a 95-year-old man. Who was like set in his ways. He cut the orange the same way. It was the same thing every single day.
I don't understand how this is. I don't understand how it's an issue. I don't understand why it bothered you so much. Andrew,
I don't
did it
either.
Bother you?
I don't understand it either.
Did it bother you, Andrew? You were in the room. You saw it.
No, didn't bother me. Oranges smell nice. I had no problem with it.
No,
yeah,
no,
I didn't mind the smell. I hated the visual.
Yeah, and you can't really ask Andrew what he minds when it comes to food at work. He'll just go in the fridge and eat someone's leftover cold cuts that have been in there for 2 months. I mean,
right, or like microwave fish and ruin the whole office for a month.
Yeah, or he'll like, you know, you'll see him get lunch. We'll get free lunch the day before, and the cold cuts, it's already been sitting out all day, and it's bad, and Andrew will save 3, put them in a baggie to keep them.
Here's the thing about Andrew. God love him. But if you had, like, some kind of question, like, does this smell okay, or would you eat this past a certain period, past
no,
the
don't ask
him. Do not ask Andrew. The answer will always be yes.
Yeah, it's not good.
It's
not
that good. That is 1,000% sure. It's, now, real quick, Don, did you cut them into, like,
8?
Like, but, like, oranges already naturally go into slices.
Right. He did. That drove me nuts, too.
So wait, he when you peel an orange, you can then rip the sphere in half.
Right.
And then you
so
can
he
just
would actually do it with the skin on. So you know like when you're trying to make a kid laugh, you put the you carve up an orange like that, you put it in your mouth, eat the orange part, and then you smile and you got the whole orange smile.
Oh yeah, he does that for everyone.
What he did every day. That's the way he ate the orange. It was sickening.
So wait, hold on.
And also I do enjoy the rind. Like, I won't eat the peel, but the white rind, I do like that part.
Oh, so yeah, no, you're a freak. What Michael's describing here is what you should have done is taken the knife, cut it through the peel, and you peel off the whole orange, and then you rip it into pieces and eat it like a civilized human being.
Right, not him. This was his little meticulous old man thing that he did.
I get my
orange. This is when he was in his 40s. This might have been when he was in his 30s. And he did it, and he knew it annoyed me, and he did it every day.
This is what the peel looks like. And then I just eat the orange off of the peel. I don't understand how that's gross or disgusting. I mean, it's not an attractive fruit to eat, but I'm going to.
I said this to a lot of people in my life. It's not you. It's me. It was me.
I get my grapefruit, and I take my sugar, and I sprinkle it on every day, and that's how I start my day when I watch my program.
It was for some reason infuriating.
No, but you've made your point, and I understand that how. It could bother you, but to want to rip my eyeball out of the socket, that's
strong.
It's very strong.
Strong.
Wow.
Doesn't make a lot of sense, but you don't make a lot of sense, and that's why we love you. But I'm going to continue to eat my oranges, and now in the situation that we're in now, it shouldn't bother you.
Yeah.
I'm not eating it on the air. I'm not Peter.
No, you're right. It has nothing to do with me anymore. But the fact that I saw the orange there, it gave me chills. It brought back unbelievable bad memories. Let's go to Gus in, I guess, Washington Heights. Gus.
Hey, guys. Love the show. Blah, 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 blah. Two questions. One for Mike and one for Don. Mike, how long do we have to wait till we get my man, Buck Showalter, as the New York Yankees manager?
Don't think it'll happen.
who's next in line for Rangers coach?
Gus wants to fire everybody, Don. He wants Quinn gone. He wants Boone down. All right, so who's next for the Rangers?
I honestly, and I'm close to the organization. I'm fending off fans left and right, Michael. It's amazing. Like, they want this guy completely out of here. He's a college coach. There is no next in line. They're happy with what they have. They don't think it's a coaching issue with this team right now. They just don't. Now, maybe they're wrong. We'll find out. But there's no rumors. There's no heir apparent. They believe this team's well coached. Is it coaching that Mika Zibanejad has disappeared? Is it coaching that Panarin's had to take a leave of absence? Is it coaching that the goaltending hasn't been as good as it should be? I know it sounds like the Ranger announcer making excuses for the coach, but you know, I also think this is where you get in trouble. That's why I think the coaching change happened in Atlanta. I think that's why the coaching change happened in Montreal. Is that expectations, and maybe myself included, were way higher than they should have been. Way higher. This team is still a work in progress. They're still trying to rebuild. But because they played so well at the end of last year and they snuck into the qualifying round, everybody had them as a playoff team that was going to compete for the division, and clearly they're just not that good. So now it's the coach's fault that your expectations were too high.
There
now,
you go.
A year from now, maybe things change. But right now, this is not a coach in any kind of trouble.
The only thing I worry about with that is not Davidson's guy. But I don't think John's like that. But, you know, again, he's not Davidson's guy.
No, but neither's the general manager. You know, neither are a lot of these players. But I think JD knew what he was getting into. I agree with you. When you look at sports, that's always an issue. And maybe if they continue to play poorly and it becomes a coaching situation, that lack of, I wouldn't say support, but that fact that you brought up might be a deciding factor on yay or nay when they all get together in a boardroom and decide what they're going to do. But I'm telling you, the fans might think it. This is not an issue. It's not a coaching issue. It's a team that's still very young, and maybe it's going to take a little while longer than maybe the fans wanted to. But I think there was that one question, Michael, about them being ready to play that game against the Devils.
Right,
and then they went ahead and they won three of their next four games. So they answered. They answered the call.
One more thing about the Orange before we break. Mm. So he would do this, Peter, right? And I would sit there silently looking at him. And as he was so meticulous the way he cut the Orange. And I would start to boil inside. And I really wanted to jump over the console and grab him by the neck.
You should have.
No, I shouldn't have, because I love him. He's like a brother. But there was, every day I fought the urge to just pummel him. That's how much it annoyed me.
What do you tell the police after? First of all, you'd get maybe one shot in, and I'd have to explain why you're unconscious. But let's just say, for sake of argument, you caught me in the temple. You got me right. I hit the floor, break my neck, I'm dead. How do you
explain?
I
didn't want to kill you. I just wanted you to stop.
Well,
but hey, anytime you
smoke
somebody, right, Peter, anything in
it. It's a risk.
So how do you explain to the police, well, what got your blood boiling, Mr. K? What was it that bothered you about Don?
So you bludgeoned your friend to death. What made you do that?
Yeah.
The way he cut his oranges.
Wow, that's a psychopath.
You know what's sad, Peter? I'm sure there's been many situations where it was for that exact reason.
And I tell you what, I would sit there and I would berate myself. I'd have conversations in my head. He's not doing it to annoy you, but it annoys you. Well, don't even pay attention. I can't look away. It's the most annoying thing that any human being's
I'm
ever
sure
done.
I did it in front of Peter, too.
And I've seen
Peter
him do it.
Never even noticed.
Yeah, but it was every day. You weren't an everyday Orange guy last year, or the last time we were together 3 years ago. I don't know.
You were, you know, he was an occasional Orange guy.
Yeah, this was every day at the same time. He's slowly reaching into his bag and pull it out. You know, this freezer bag that he brings around like an old woman. It's just, it's like, you know, Aunt Ethel at the Mahjong table. He had.
By the way, it is hilarious. Don is one of very few people that I know who carries around food with him at all times.
Right.
Like, at any moment, the world could stop, and it wouldn't be enough to have the snack machines we have a cafeteria in our building. That wouldn't be enough. He needs a bag of food all the time.
Tell the truth. A lot of those times was because I had a Ranger game after, which means I was going to be there till 10 o'clock at night. It's the only building in the history of our business that the actual cafeteria would close 30 minutes before our show started.
It was very early that the
yeah, but even closed. Even when you before you even did the Rangers, the orange was a thing. It's I mean, it's almost like you went to Syracuse. It was incessant.
Well, and also you do, Don. You bring the food bag every day, regardless of the schedule.
Because the merce.
Your food.
Because I would have lunch. Everything. That was my lunch bag. I would have lunch. We'd have lunch in the office.
It's not lunch that needed to be frozen. It was like a freezer bag too.
Rod wanted to keep my water cold because you knew we weren't. I wasn't drinking out of that refrigerator. Right. So what does everybody want when we were at the old office, Peter? A bottle of water. Couldn't get it. Plus, we took a six-flight elevator ride down to get water. You know, I'd bring my own water. And excuse me for wanting cold water.
And no, but not just that. He keeps water in there, an orange, some like
some kind of chip.
The pistachios or nuts of some sort.
Oh. And then when I would occasionally bring something in like pistachios, he'd look over to me like Butter does, like expects me to give him food. You going to offer me any? I mean, it never ended.
Well, and then on the top of that, he takes at least one trip a day down to our colleague's cubicle.
Right, and gets peanuts for free.
To score
some
nuts.
Oh, my God, Michael, don't even start. Like, you weren't down there just as much as I was.
We're actually co-authoring a book, Peter, Peanuts for Free.
That really would be the story of that office.
Yeah, it really would. The Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save, also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. And before I break, I'm sorry I have to say this. Peter, I've been texting you over and over. I want an answer to the text that I'm sending you. You teased me with something, and now you're not answering.
By the way, it's his camera. Give him a break.
No, you only texted me one time. There's not multiple texts here.
Yeah, but I keep telling Andrew, tell him I want the answer to what I asked him, and you will not answer. What are you doing?
Okay. Got it.
This is worse than the oranges. If I was there right now, I'd jump over the console at you.
Dear God, dear Shriad, it would be so fabulous to drop you.
Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes at 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You know, one quick note about the Yankee spring training game today. Jameson Taillon, who the Yankees acquired from the Pirates in January, hadn't pitched at all last year, coming back from a second Tommy John surgery. Threw seven pitches, looked really good. Fastball was about 92-94, and then he finished his pitch allotment in the bullpen after that. But 1-2-3 inning, and Jameson Taillon looked very good. So if he can stay healthy, that would be some pickup for the Yankees because he could be that sort of pitcher for them. 1-800-919-3776. Let's go to Rick in Rutherford. Rick.
Hey, Mike, Peter, Don. How you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. Mike, I know you couldn't get Don and Peter on the spring training game, so I got an idea so you can make nice with them. You want to hear it?
Sure. Want to make nice to them.
All right. So this is what you have to do. So you're getting together with John Sterling, no?
Yeah.
Okay, so when John Sterling makes that first home run call, when he goes, it is high, it is far, it is, you cut him off and see ya, what do you think?
No.
I wouldn't want that to happen.
You know, Rick, if you've been listening,
it.
Right?
No.
The way I felt when Don was carving the orange, John would act on it. John would leap across. No, he can't because we'll be in separate spots. But the next time he sees me, it would be over.
But I don't know. I don't think that's anything that Peter and I want to see.
You should see how many people called or tweeted, Don, because we were interviewing Luke Boyd during an inning on Sunday, and there were two home runs, and he stepped on him. And I said, there's no comparison. He's a player doing an interview. He got excited. His teammates hit home run. It's not like a professional sitting there.
Let's hear what that sounded like, shall we?
Sure.
It's good to get back in the box. Oh, there we go.
Get out, ball.
Deep
going.
The right center field.
There. Hey.
Oh, see ya. A two-run home run for Brantley, and it's now 5-3 Toronto.
That wasn't even bad.
I thought it added something. He was delightful.
Oh, it added something. Interesting. Well, it added something.
He's not a professional broadcaster. He's
But he added something.
He's on the team. He's supposed to get excited. He's on the team.
Well, Dave thinks he's on the team, too.
But he's not. He used to be.
They're on the team. See, you're trying to be professional, and I get it, but give the fans what they want. It added something.
How do you know they want that?
If you ran it up the pole, you'd be embarrassed.
I'm not going to. Let's go to John in Mahwah. Johnny John.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
I don't know whether it's an orange thing or it's a thing about people enjoying their food, but like Don, I love oranges and I eat them every day. And when I used to work at my old company, I would be at the end of this hallway, and I would every day at 3 o'clock, only California oranges, I would be peeling my oranges, and there was this guy who hated the fact that I would eat my oranges every single day at 3 o'clock, and he would walk down the hall, and I could see him, huffing and puffing. Like, you eating oranges now? I'm like, yeah, I'm eating my oranges. Why is it that big of a deal? It's the weirdest thing. What is it about oranges, Michael, that upsets you? Or
you
not?
You know what? John, I guess, again, this is a trip to Vienna, where I have to be studied by several people, but
Many people.
You might have hit on something very important. Maybe I don't like to see people enjoy themselves.
That's right.
I think there's a lot to that.
But I don't mind, but I don't know if that's fully it. It's just the way Don did it in such an antagonistic way.
I really didn't think
he wanted to rub it. He was rubbing that orange right in your face.
Peter, it was the plastic knife every day. It was like Groundhog's Day. I felt like I Got You, Babe was about to play. I felt like Bill Murray. It just never stopped.
I had
Here's
to
the orange.
What do you want me to bring
Here's
an actual knife to work? And then, God forbid, I forget it in my bag, and then the next plane flight I take, I get arrested. So they had plastic knives at work. I usually would cut it by the microwave, but sometimes the breaks were too short. I'd have to cut it there in the studio. That's what happens when you're trying to get a snack on a show where you can't eat on the air. Would you rather me be like Peter and just eat on the air?
See, you know, you keep burying me here. I don't do that often.
No, but I'm just saying is that when you only have a certain fragmented piece of time to not only cut the orange, but to eat it, sometimes they'd have to be eaten during
break.
But
why couldn't you eat an orange like every other human being, like cut it in half and do it that way? Or as Peter said, peel the skin off and then actually break it into the quadrants that they have, that nature made, instead of what Don made.
I like to eat it off the peel.
See, that's what got me, I think. That's what got me. I'm so glad I don't have
Meanwhile,
to see
you
it
know
anymore.
You know what I just got in the mail? My sweet, amazing mother just sent me a box of delicious treats for Purim. Some of her world-famous blondies and some Hummantaschen.
What's Hummantaschen?
It's like a sweet dough with fillings in the middle. Like, there's different. You can have chocolate, you can have prune, you can have strawberry.
Oh, that sounds fun.
Prune's actually better than you think. I don't know why. It doesn't taste like you're eating prunes.
No, but I'm not saying what it tastes like. I'm going to say the result of prune.
Well, that's helpful, especially at your advanced age. But a shout out to my mom. She's so sweet.
You know that's going to go right to your hips, right? You've done a lot of work to keep the weight off.
But the thing is, what I've changed is not that I don't stop eating delicious foods. I just know how to make it last longer. I put it in the freezer and take my time, eat my salads, and every couple days, boom, go have a delicious chocolate blondie.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.